Yes, it is Friday, May 3. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you're listening. Last night in the NRL, Penrith 42, the Bunnies 12. At a core stadium after the Bunnies led 12-0, would you believe, early doors. And then it was 18-12, the Panthers got back in front by halftime. And then they just ran away with it. The triple defending premiers, the Panthers, in the AFL last night. The Adelaide Crows beat their fierce rivals Port Adelaide in the showdown by 30 points. Carlton and Collingwood tonight. Two big games in the NRL tonight. The Broncos and the Roosters. Heavyweight clash at Suncorp. Before that, at Four Pines at Brookie. Loz's Raiders up against Manly as well. Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. We're at the William Farrer here in Wagga this morning, post the Calcutta last night. A bit concerned. Text Stanley earlier just to get absolute clarification on what the pool was, which I'm told was 111,000. Pool thereabouts for the Calcutta here last night. But I've had no response yet from Stanley. And I've just been shown a video, Loz, which you've witnessed over my shoulder, of he and Tommy Berry doing karaoke nearby. So I'm very concerned about our mate. And we'll racing HQ this morning.
Well, he probably won't be able to hear the phone because he's got the sleep apnea machine on. So we'll have to get someone to get the key to get into the room and wake him up because he's he's still got a couple of hours to go before he's on air. He'll be right.
What do you think?
He's not a quitter, Dave.
No, but what do you think of his rendition of K-San?
Oh, I've heard better.
Yeah.
But given the circumstances and given that he was one out at the races yesterday and he was drinking hard solo last night, the big fella.
Can't he?
He said, I've had enough beer.
Can't he mix his drinks? I've never seen anything like it. I rocked up one
mate, he was on vodka. He was on beer. He was on the hard solo. He was on the bourbon.
He's trying to put shots in my mouth at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. First beer walk in the pub before the and then he'd be like, oh, I have like rum and coke. And then he'd be like, oh, I'm having a seltzer.
Mate, nothing beats.
That's in the first half hour.
Nothing beats the time we went to Musselbrook.
Oh,
and I've never seen a bloke tighter than this. And I can't believe he actually did it. And I can't believe the publican allowed him to do it. He took his own six-pack of beer and got the publican to put it in the fridge.
It was the Resch's
Pilsner. To drink. Yeah.
I think he joined some sort of Facebook group about the silver bullets, the Resch's or something. And they sent him a case and he took it with him.
I just couldn't believe that. Hmm. And he was just drinking Resch's out of the can at the pub.
Deary me.
Giving them for nothing.
On the text line, it's the Junee Cheezel, Loz, has texted in. Lads in desperate need of a tip, tucked in proper to Wagga Town plate day, ended up taking the night for a walk. Now I'm not sure if I'm coming good or not. Hashtag licorice all sorts. Steer me into one, please, preferably early in the day, so I can get a good wind up at Cup Day. Laurie, could fair dinkum stop the sun from coming up? Hashtag Gravina.
That wasn't my tip. Gravina wasn't mine. That was yours.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a bet in that race. The great man David Barnhill saluted again yesterday, you know.
Yeah, at Warrnambool again. So 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row, the great Barnhill.
Yeah,
I might have to put a text into Barney if he's awake and see whether he's got any mail today.
All right, joining us from the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Pengilly. Adam, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Middo. Morning, Loz. I'm still trying to get over that Stanley story about taking his own beer to the pub. I've never seen it before,
Adam. He walked in and he said to the publican, excuse me, do you mind if I put these in your fridge and I can drink them throughout the night? I think the bloke was just stunned. And he didn't know what to say. He just went, oh right, oh.
Well, so they charge him a corkage fee? What's the go there?
No, just
get your beer.
We were embarrassed, weren't we?
Oh, I think, yeah.
True story. Were we embarrassed or not?
It was the Royal in Musselbrook, their Calcutta before their Cup Day. Yeah. I think it was just mouth open stuff going, wow.
We were like, I can't believe he's just done that.
That's the word, audacious from DS. Anyway. Worked out well for him. Hasn't worked out for the Bunnies, though, post the sacking of Jason Demetrio yet. Anyway, they were 12-0 up last night, Adam. 42-12 in the end up against the powerhouse that is the Penrith Panthers. What do you make of the match overall?
Oh, there were signs there, Middo, in the first 15 minutes, weren't there? They got out of the gates really quickly after that Isaac Tungo sin bin. He thought, okay, well, maybe they're going to make a real contest of this. But it just felt all too familiar in the second half, didn't it? Once a bit of momentum went against them, there was just no way they could sort of stop the Panthers from getting a roll on and putting together back-to-back tries. I know you guys probably already chatted about this morning, but I thought that one moment where Dylan Edwards picked up the ball for a tap restart and he run past about 8 or 9 South Sydney players to get to the 20-metre line first and then send Taylor May away, 75-metre run to score untouched. Pretty much just summed up where South Sydney are at the moment. I get it. I know the game was probably redlining a little bit. It's getting sort of deep into the second half. But that's just, to me, and Loz, you can speak to this better than me, that's just not acceptable. You can't have a fullback running past 7 or 8 guys and getting to the 20-metre line before you can get your defensive line set. So I don't know where they go, Middo. Obviously, injuries last night to Jai Gray, Dean Hawkins. I think we have to check on the health of Jai Arrow, who was clearly still struggling with his shoulder there last night. It just seems like there's not really an immediate way out of this hole for them at the moment. They just have to dig deep and just try and find a win somewhere, hopefully, or maybe against the Dragons, presents itself a chance next week. But they are a long, long, long way off the pace at the moment.
Yeah, and I think they're always going to start with plenty of emotion last night after the week they've had and the sacking of their coach. So we assumed that they'd start fast, and they did. They got away to a 12-point lead. But then, as what's happened to them all season, they just picked and choose when they wanted to participate, when they wanted to show some energy and enthusiasm and the desire or urgency to compete. And the good sides do it longer. And consistently longer, and South Sydney at the moment are just doing it for short periods of time. And when they clock off, they get found out, and the opposition team just roll through their middle and they put points on the board. And as you quite rightly pointed out, when Dylan Edwards grabbed that football and raced to the 20 metres and tapped it and gave it to May to score, that was, yeah, that's something as a coach you're sitting there in the coach's box just shaking your head. I tell you what though, Adam, I always thought that, you know, James Tedesco or Tommy Turbo would be fullback for New South Wales this year.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I tell you what, he's going to be difficult to leave out, Dylan Edwards.
Just, oh, how good is
effort,
he?
Just the effort.
It's unreal, mate.
Effort on every play. And that's just suited to Origin. And the more I think about it, I think he might get there. And
wow.
I think they might move Tom to the centres and leave Teddy out.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know, but I think Teddy's going to have to produce something in the next 3 or 4 games.
No, I agree with you, Loz.
So at the moment, you've got Dylan Edwards ahead. He's
leading
the race.
I think,
to be the New
mate,
South
what
Wales
he's
fullback.
Done consistently and then just little efforts again last night, I think you've got to reward that at some point.
I don't know.
What do you think, Adam?
He's a phenomenal player, Loz, and I tend to agree with you. I think Teddy has to produce something in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
To retain that position, just given how good Dylan Edwards is going. And you look at Dylan Edwards, and I mean this with all respect. Like, he's not a pretty player. The way he runs and his gait and everything like that, it doesn't look like it's flowing, but it's just a continual effort that he puts in to get to every single play. He plays with such a high intensity. And you're right, that's what you want in Origin. You want guys with effort-on-effort plays and being involved 3 or 4 times in a set, supporting your halves and your big forwards through the middle, looking for those offloads. And I don't know. Like, I agree with you. Put it this way, Loz. If you don't pick him now, you're not picking him at all, are you, really?
No. And that's exactly right. And that's what I mean. I think that Teddy's got to play his best football in the next month. Because if he doesn't, I think the other bloke is just playing too good.
Mm.
And just on the text line, no, nobody's welding here. There's just a few kegs to go down in underneath here. It is Walker Cup getting ready
to that.
The Farrah's got to be stocked.
We can't have a pub with no beer.
Can't run out of beer, exactly right. Now, you've written an interesting story in the Herald today, Adam, in regards to this Lewis Dodd signing, and he's reportedly agreed to a 3-year deal. But are you saying that he never had a conversation with the coach? Well, the coach at the time, of course, being Jason Demetrio.
Yeah, absolutely, Middo. There was no conversation whatsoever with Jason Demetrio before he left South Sydney or any of the coaching staff. It was all done by the top brass at South Sydney to get that deal across the line. Everyone's known for probably the last 4 or 5 days that in all likelihood Lewis Dodd was going to go to the Rabbitohs. It was pretty much a done deal. I've sort of written about the length of the deal today, saying it's going to be 3 years. So he'll finish out playing the season with St Helens over there in the Super League and then come down to start pre-season training with South later this year. But it just goes to show I suppose, how that club is working at the moment, that he didn't really have to consult the coaching staff or the current coaching staff in JD before he signed that deal. So everything was done by, I believe, the South Sydney executive and management to get that deal across the line. So I was just watching a few highlights from him yesterday, actually, and he looks like he's a really good runner of the ball. He's not afraid to take on the line, got a really good left foot step, which I think is going to provide South with a running threat, which they might not have had with Lachlan Ilias there the last couple of years in the number seven jersey. But my big question is, and Loz, you can speak to this, is he's a left foot up. He looks like a left-sided phenomenal player. When you got Cody Walker in the halves there as well, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. I'm going to have to do some thinking, but he's certainly a class player and one that South have been trying to get for a while.
Yeah. Jack's left side.
Yeah.
Cody's left side. Lewis Dodd left side. That's their preferred positions and preferred areas to attack. That's going to need some working. That doesn't mean it can't work, though.
No, of course.
No, but I haven't seen a lot of Dodd, to be fair. So I might do what you did, add a bit of a look at him and give you a bit of an appraisal next week. But I think they had to do something, South, because obviously what they got is not working. They've sort of lost trust and faith in Lachlan Ilias, and they've told him he can go and explore his options. I don't think Dean Hawkins is the answer. So they're trying to find someone else.
And the conspiracy theory is that Wayne Bennett had something to do with his signing.
Well, we know the conspiracy theories run deep, don't they, Middo, in rugby league. And joining the dots, right, there is a natural connection because Christian Wolf was the coach that handed Lewis Dotti's debut in the Super League over there when he was coaching St. Helens. We know that Christian Wolf's the assistant to Wayne Bennett at the Dolphins at the moment and will take over as head coach next year. So if Wayne was looking for intel on Lewis Dotti, if he has got this deal stitched up to go to South Sydney, he wouldn't have had to pick up the phone or go far to find out about Lewis Dodd. So I think as it stands at the moment, guys, Wayne Bennett clearly is the number one choice for South Sydney. I think they're working on a deal at the moment, if it's not already done, to have him officially sorted within the next few days. Wayne's pushing for a three-year deal to come down to Sydney to coach South Sydney, which will get him towards, I think he'll be 77 by the time that deal finishes, if that's the case. But he's got all the power at the moment, Wayne, doesn't he, really, from a negotiation point of view, because South want him as coach. There's not too many other options out there. He needs another job, so he's probably holding the whip hand to some respect. And I'd imagine that deal will be sorted pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't know whether they can or who's on the market, but I just look at South, and I think they just need some really hard, tough forwards as well.
Yeah.
All right, we spoke about it before the news, before the fine given to Phil Gould. I don't like it. John from Wingham's just texted in saying it's ludicrous as well. Other people, don't like the many hats that, Gus is perceived to wear, but we can find that all across the game of rugby league. I hate that he got fined for this, Adam. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Middo, I'm on your side. I heard you and Loz discussing it before the news, before the 7 o'clock news. And I get it. Gus is an outspoken commentator. His opinions are quite forthright, and that's what he's made his living on in the media for many, many years. Whether you agree with him or not, that's just who he is. Now, what I will say in this situation is that I think Gus has pushed the line in previous instances a lot more than what he did on Monday night. Yeah. Like clearly in that context on Monday night, he was commentating or talking about it as a commentator. It had nothing to do with the Bulldogs or anything like that. He was talking about rules and rules interpretations. And I think most people would have sat at home on Monday night completely agreeing with what he said about some of the rules and consequences for breaking them. I thought in the past, maybe the NRL could have come down a little bit harder, but I thought on that situation on Monday night, personally, I thought it was fair game. I honestly thought it was fair game. Now, the NRL obviously quite upset that he used the word stupid and was denigrating the game in some of his comments, and they've decided to make a move. That's fine. That's their prerogative. But as you quite rightly pointed out, Middo, where do we draw the line? There are so many conflicts of interest involved in rugby league with guys holding jobs with particular clubs, as well as media roles. And you want those guys involved with the media. But you can turn on, just for example, turn on Fox on any given night. And you've got Michael Ennis sitting on the panel there, which he was last night. He's an assistant coach at Manly. Now, when he's talking about the game, what does everyone think then? Cooper Cronk, he works with both the Roosters and has worked with the Storm in the past in an official role. He's talking about the game and the different rules and interpretations. Do we want to pull him up for what he's saying about, different opinions about the game?
Exactly right.
I know Gus is a lot more outspoken than those guys and probably a high profile. I completely understand that. But I'm not quite sure I agree with the decision the NRL made there yesterday.
What about this game tonight, the 8 o'clock game, Broncos-Roosters? There's some talk that Payne Haas, Katoni Staggs may not play. I'm unsure of who you thought was going to win before yesterday, but with the announcement that they're in doubt, if they're not playing tonight, will that swing your opinion either way?
Oh, I don't think so, Loz. I'm probably still sticking with the Broncos. So many players out in this game, isn't there, tonight? I think the Roosters have withdrawn Daniel Tupou, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves not playing. Victor Radley was named on an extended bench but hasn't come up with his hamstring problem. So both sides are going to be severely under strength. I just think the Broncos have just been slowly warming into this season. I think they're ready for a statement game tonight. I don't think the Roosters will be tough to beat, obviously, after that Anzac Day win. But I'm still going to lean towards the Broncos, even if Payne Haas is not playing tonight.
All right, we need some tips. We need some mail. What have you got for us?
Hawkesbury tomorrow, Middo. Race 5, number 1, Spacewalk is my best bet on the program. I know he's first up and probably lacking just a little bit of fitness, but gee, I think he's a class runner in this this gold rush. And I know he's carrying 59 kilos, but he gets through soft or rain-affected going. So at around that $6.50 mark, I'm happy to be with him. Race 5, number 1, Spacewalk. And just on the NRL point of view, oh, you guys know I've been pretty keen on the Warriors this year, and Jesus, they're starting to worry me a little bit, but I think they can cover the start against the Knights on Sunday at the -3.5. They've got to come good at some stage, and against the Newcastle team still missing Calen Ponga and Tyson Frizzell, I think they can cover the line there, and I think the Sharks and Dragons game will be a lot tighter than what people are expecting. Yeah, I'm suspecting under 44.5 points might be the play there as well on Sunday, Middo.
Yeah, I've taken Dragons at the plus in that game. 13.5, too big for a derby, I reckon. Gee, it looks a tough card at Hawkesbury tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, it does, Middo. Big fields. The track, I'm still not 100% sure what we're going to come up tomorrow morning. So I'm playing it very, very carefully. So just the one early bet for me in that Spacewalk.
Is there a lot of rain around Sydney?
There's been a little bit last night, Loz, and they're predicting some more today, obviously. But I think a lot of people would be betting late tomorrow, just waiting to see how that track comes up tomorrow morning, because it looks pretty miserable, it must be said, for the next 24 hours.
Great stuff, mate. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy Wagga, boys. Have a good weekend.
Well, a bloke who doesn't just do his job and go off to karaoke like some from Harvest Hotels who own the William Farrer here at Wagga, where this fantastic cow cutter was on last night. Fraser Horton. Fraser, very good morning to you, mate. Yes. Great to see you once again.
Thank you, mate. Good to see you as well.
Tell us about it last night. What did we get to in that cow cutter?
First prize. Oh, so we pulled up to about 110. I'm now a bit concerned about that number. I don't know if I've got it right off the top of my head.
Stanley just send it to me. 111,550.
That's pretty close. So, yeah, 55 in ticket sales, and we doubled from there, which is about right. But I think it's still a pretty good result. Feel there's a little bit less cash about, like just in general terms. So, but to double from, to get 55 in ticket sales and to double from there is good going without a couple of big punters who we know usually come down. So yeah.
And it's
enough.
A great couple of days, isn't it, Fraze, down here for the Wagga Cup and the carnival. And today will be bigger than yesterday.
Yeah.
But to walk into this pub with all the renovations, it looks magnificent, mate. So congratulations.
Yeah,
well,
thanks, Loz. Yeah. No, we're chuffed with how it's come up. It was, you know, kind of better late than never. We wanted to do it a bit earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things happen and other things get in the way. So, but to have it done, no one said we were going to have it done, but the boys, local fellas, they did it all in about 13 weeks and were open for Anzac Day, which was a pretty good first hit out. And, a little bit of stuff still to do here in the public bar. But apart from that, she's had the renovation that the pub kind of needs and deserves, really. Yeah.
And the punters club's still very much part of the fabric of the Farrer, isn't it?
Yeah, and still is the fabric, right? Like, But Barnes still actively involved in that, and that kind of part of it has never changed. We don't want it to ever change. We want to grow it, actually. Like, so it's probably about us to just fan the fire a little bit and give it some legs is really the plan there. So we were actually even chatting last night about, you know, what do we do next year, you know, to make the Calcutta bigger and better. There's a few punters clubs who were young fellas who'd come from far and wide, and they actually made a big impact. Not just in the pool, but just in the kind of vibe of the night. They were here. It was their weekend away. So, you know, we want to try and find a way to build on it each year. It's not just a take for granted, oh, you've got a great Calcutta. You know, it'll die away if you don't try and put a bit more into it. Yeah. So,
and I think what you've done with the Renos as well, Fraze, it's a pub that provides for everyone.
Mm.
So, families, tradies, sport people, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can actually get here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of always the goal when we do it is we want a pub where, you know, everyone from every walk of life can be in at the pub enjoying it at the same time. We never really got not that there was anything anti-family about the Faz, but we never really had, you know, mums and kids and stuff come in here before, but with the kids play, like our first Sunday, it was chock-a-block, which is good to see. Yeah. And a few fellas sledging me saying they'd never seen a kid in here before. So, but no, it's that it's been received in that way, and it's you know, that's the kind of
the fire the mark. The fire pit would be popular, wouldn't it?
Yeah, fire. It's a bit of an RHS issue. It might be a few blokes stumbling around the fire pit last night, but yeah, the flames were getting a bit high.
Yeah,
but no, it's a hit on a Saturday night with the boys. So. Look, no, we're chuffed with how it's come up. We're really happy. And even in the outside of the pub, like, it's so prominent. And we think that the Faz has just kind of got that sense of goodwill in Wagga that it's, you know, that was built up over a long time. And we really wanted to kind of preserve that or do it a bit of justice, however you want to put it. So, yeah, it's nice to have been able to finish the reno and nice to get the compliments. I won't lie. It's nice to get.
Any mail?
Oh, no. I'm sure. Okay. I mean,
we'll ask anyone.
Ask anyone. But, I mean, the controversy of the day is that Barn was in here last night having Laurie claimed him to be New South Wales' greatest tipster. He grew 6 inches.
So, mate, Barney was telling me his phone was going off, going, mate, you're the worst. After I wrapped him.
After he wrapped him.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone said, mate, you're hopeless. You've never tipped a winner in your life.
He's 3 months due. So we actually thought that would be the prize for the boys next year on the punters clubs in here. Exclusive access to his tips.
The last time as blokes we give each other a pat on the back? It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. No. And the closer you are... You're never going to get a rap off your close mates.
Nah.
But like, let's get the local cliff house. Let's get the local truck up. You know, and it's be great for town to see that happen. So
yeah, exactly.
I think we'll charge him home. Don't have any vested interest in the Calcutta from last night.
It went for $9,200. Just seeing its auction price. So yeah, it's the local ho for Tim Donnelly, cliff house. Denny Beasley rides. I think I said the other day, I'm sure he rode the first three winners on the day last year or close to it. And the favourite, Faulkner Park, went for $25,500 last night.
Wow. Big bickies.
Big so that pool, what is it, 60% of the pool goes to the winner? 70% goes to the winner. Just over 70 grand. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah, No, I'm not going to do the calculator.
I'm not going to do the math at this time of the morning, you know.
70 and change.
Oh, well, mate, thanks for having us once again.
No worries. Thanks, Jess.
Love coming here. The William Farrer, great pub, great atmosphere. Perfect for your carnival, your venue to go back to. Enjoy, mate. Have a great day.
Yeah, likewise, everyone else. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the cup. Thanks, boys.